Welcome back. Well, that was an interesting discussion about the trucks. My take is, thank God the trucks are here. Thank God the garbage is being picked up. In my opinion, the smaller things would have been, well, I understand that they've been fixed. More trucks to come out. My biggest concern would be moving forward, would make sure that you engage your workers anytime that they have to get into a vehicle and there's some changes. I think that they should have known. If they did not know, I'm assuming based upon the reports that they obviously did not know and they needed a little bit more communication moving forward. But let's look at the bigger picture. The garbage is being picked up. And on another note about the size of the trucks, there are some very small roads in Barbados, but there are also a lot of cars that park and a fire truck can't even get through. So people, we have to decide if we can park a bit neater. If we can't, then we may have to decide if we're going to put our garbage to the bottom of a gap as opposed to in the neighborhood. Because if you're parking your vehicles, it was 2 days ago, I was somewhere in Cahill, Bristol Road, and people parked and I had to reverse. I couldn't get out. I had to go back the other way. I beat my horn and nobody took me on. I mean, nobody was out there. Imagine if a house was burning somewhere and the fire truck can't get by. I understand that there are small roads. I understand that there's nowhere else for you to park. But then don't complain about the trucks, whether this truck or the old truck's not coming in the road, because then they're going to have a problem getting in. And you may have to look at putting your garbage at the end of the gap. Some people do that already. So again, 2020, let's see what we can be grateful for. Let's see what we could bring to 2020. What changes can we make to make ourselves better, to make our country better? I'm not telling you not to air your concerns because we still have a lot. Remember, it was only 2019, a couple hours ago. It don't automatically change the next day. It's actually a continuation. However, it's about what you want to bring to the new year, what you want to leave behind, and what can you repair and make better for 2020. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You are on the air.
Yeah, good morning, John. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. It must be a new year. Last time I heard you weren't going to talk to me ever again. Happy New Year.
Are you?
Listen, we're not that petty. We go way back. How are you? And I wish you all the best for 2020.
I wish my business, especially the poor and suffering. I hope that things really look up, and I really hope that those in position who can do something for those people, instead of all the long talk and promises, that you actually do it. That's my wish. It's not about me. It's about the elderly, especially, and the children.
So you're saying 2020 should be an action year, not a talk year. I agree.
Should, but I was before here, will be. Right? Okay. And there are people in position that can do it. But for some reason, I think I cut that short there. Now, I want to know if the Abenaki side that I had my little conversation with on the program Tuesday, if that was the same Abenaki side that was involved in Four Seasons, I really like to know. And I find that the moderation was poor. And I can say, wait, I find that when these experienced moderators got these big boys on radio, they don't really quiz them. I hear a lot of laughter and a lot of little pleasantries. Here and there may get a little serious question, but those people need to be grilled. I would have asked, or many heard him critical of the last government, or rightly so. I couldn't. I would love to get him in the studio. I ask him the question, and you give me the answers. That's why we're late. A lot of nice talk. He's very well spoken, nice voice. But what is there behind the voice? I remember the millions and millions that went into Four Seasons. And there's nothing to show. All to show is abandonment. And he and the speaker yesterday, I want to give the impression that I don't understand. Talking about giving government workers increase and raising pensions. What sense It's giving me a $20 increase. China's floor prices, and when floor prices go up, everything go up. Bread go up, biscuits go up. Almost everything, if not everything associated with floor goes up. The increased bus fares, they put on a $48 water tax on everybody's water bill. At least I understand that 48 is more, much more than 20. So when you come beating his chest and give it, like, you know what? Again, you know, I think the time of stand-up business has to take a stand. The time is long overdue. All we boast about that we are tolerant. You know, that's all we talk about. And we talk about the others and very negative, we talk about the St. Lucians being foolish and all that, but let me remind you all, the foolish St. Lucians, as you all put it, changed the government twice in a year. Them are going to university. They don't have anything. But you know what? They've got the gut and the will to come together. And until such time that we forget a lot of petty, foolish differences, like I don't support the party you support, and all of that, things will remain the same, and the politicians from all the sides recognize it, and they've been using it when the time political history started in Barbados. It's all about controlling people. And they finally say, well, I said, well, I hope we don't get cut. When the last government was in office, I used to work at MTW. It was very critical of the then Minister of Transport and Work. A message was brought to me by a deputy permanent secretary. I can't criticize the minister and come on the compound. Here, a few weeks ago, with this present government, the permanent secretary came to me on the compound. But I can tell you this, nobody is going to muzzle me. Nobody is going to control me. I was not raised by parents who told us to church to be seen and not heard. I was raised by parents to encourage us to speak up. When you're wrong, you apologize. And the only way that can stop me from talking is this way it comes to.
Is this what it has come to for 2020? Really? Okay, listen. What I'm actually going to say to you is this. Is there anything or ask you in 2019 that you could say that was done well or not bad, anything that you were impressed by and want to see continue into 2020?
I can tell you things that I was impressed with. Ministers that impressed me.
Go on.
There's one flaw. I won't mention that flaw. But to see her going through her personal issues and still to be up front, real flavors, and then a hands-on man. And you know what impressed me most of all? The Prime Minister trying her best to establish states of Africa. It's not only about money, you know. I've been saying for years that we should try to establish states of Africa for all tourism products. Not only because of the tourism itself, but because of having those people there, we can learn more about us. Where we come from. And stop looking at Africa as being a backward place where people were about to face naked. That is what other people want us to believe.
Well, I'm happy that we got something very positive out of this conversation for 2020. And that there are some things in 2019 that you are happy about and you want to see continue in 2020. I want to wish you all of the best for this year. We look forward to hearing you some more on this program to express yourself freely and respectfully as you normally do. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's 10:41. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello.
How do you do?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, wonderful, in the good name of Jesus. Now, a few things. One, when it came to the national insurance thing, one would want to wish to find out whether or not Glenn Murray, who seemed to be up in arms about the ministers, whether or not he contacted the national insurance. he got here, say, from somebody that didn't get a check. Did he check the national insurance to find out exactly what the challenge was before he come in the air and spot out? What he had to spot out?
I think he had to go to the source sometimes,
even though you get somebody to come and tell you something, but you have to go to the source to find out what the challenges are at the source, and then come and criticize the source for not notifying the public. That's the first thing you should do. Because apparently he's up in arms about ministers. But what is the role of permanent secretaries? And I heard Kazir Franklin, the Senator Kazir Franklin, came out and said that there are some people in the public service that are not putting their own weight. They think a minister should go out and look at a truck. You got nothing better to do. Mm-hmm. And then I heard Nasa Husbands saying that the way all the trucks are were done, that the people sit going up front in the little alcove or whatever is behind it with the steps were safe. And it's safer than the truck the one behind. Because if you travel the world, you will find the body sitting behind a truck outside. Is that we are not accustomed to change? And that's one of the challenges that we have. We don't like to change. And well, I understand.
I'm actually very glad and grateful that no one was hurt. And instead
I just said that they just escaped something like that. Okay. I mean, that's fine with news ain't that came up. I could talk about that.
Okay.
Right. The other thing is that permanent secretaries have a role to play. They are called permanent secretaries. Ministers are just in transit. They could be here today and gone tomorrow, but permanent secretaries have a role to play. And I think that they have to play that role. And I believe, and I know, that when Mr. Murray was in the government as a minister or whatever, in cabinet, that they also made mistakes. All they make mistakes from time to time. And there were some ministers were fired by the last prime minister from certain offices because mistakes were made. So I don't want to come to criticize that set of people. My other point is that Ms. Roland Boyne, in this, I heard a news item which came over stating about the breathalyzer should be put off for only look at the people who are getting accidents for the next 8 weeks or something like that. No. She was out there spouting that he wanted breathalyzer to come early, fast. But yeah, she wanted to get the statistics. There's some people out there say you don't have any statistics to see whether or not it should come in at all. But the nonsense that I heard coming from her mouth was simple. Let me have 8 weeks, let me only test the people that get into accidents. Now, so because that would give us statistics to see what's happening. Suppose you had 20 accidents or 30 accidents in that 8 weeks, and there's no, and all are tested for alcohol and their breath, and all came out negative, what statistics you would have? You'll be playing in the hands of the persons who are saying that they don't have a problem in the first place. So that is nonsensical. I think people should really think before they talk, especially presidents of organizations. You can't come and spot that food. They want it all the time to come on, and now suddenly so you can say, carry for a little child.
But do you think that everybody in a car, not everybody, but just because, well, you're driving at night, I'm assuming they mean night, but people can drink. There are people who actually are at shops and actually have jobs at 10 o'clock in the morning drinking. So it's not a nighttime thing, but the thing is, with the breathalyzer test, personally, I think, as well as the test coming on board, some more information. Not that we didn't have the Don't Drink and Drive campaign. We did, and we still should continue it. We should start promoting the whole concept of designated drivers, especially with crop over coming up. We should have done that even prior to All Year's Night so that people can enjoy themselves still. Because here's the thing about alcohol. A man could take one little drink, a little snapshot of rum, and be drunk. And then somebody can have about 10 and they're fine. So when we do it that way, which I understand is a way to do it.
Yeah, but,
I'm saying you can actually find a man $1,000 up to whatever thousands of dollars and he's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
He had 10 drinks, but his blood alcohol level was not within the range that was legal. And then he has to go and look to pay out money. So, it's one of these things that I feel it needs to be done. We've had too many drunk drivers, but for sure, I believe she's right in the part with the accidents. Every accident.
No. The point I'm making is this is very clearly. If I could take you could gargle with Listerine, I could get a positive effect.
Salt water is probably more my thing, but go ahead.
But Listerine got alcohol in it. Because you got to go there, you get a positive. If you're in the United States, you're
even if you don't swallow, you're saying if you can gargle, you can still find alcohol in your blood.
That's right. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
If you live in a finance truck in the United States, you got things that don't drink that, don't use that Listerine because you get stopped, you could be in trouble. Anyhow,
okay.
The point I'm making is this, that she is saying, listen to me carefully, mm-hmm. that giving an 8-week trial, I only test the people who get into accidents. I don't know if you've heard the news item. She said only test the people who got into accidents so that they will get to know the statistics as to seeing how many people were tested there that had alcohol on their breath.
But I'll be honest with you, what's wrong with that?
Everything is wrong with that because if for example, listen very carefully. If, for example, all those people that you tested, you look for statistics to make sure that the breathalyzer is doing a good job. And if all the people that were tested in those 20 accidents had no alcohol on their breath, you'll be playing into the hands to a certain extent of the person who said that breathalyzer testing is not should not be here at all because you just tested 20 people and nobody at all had alcohol in their breath. The point I'm making...
The point would only be that... Hold on a minute, sir. But it just would show that alcohol, the consumption of alcohol is not the primary or is not the only cause of an accident, which it really isn't the only cause. It's just one of the causes.
I'm aware of you on that score. But the point I'm making is don't play to the hands of the person who say, because they will say to the police, tell me how many people find with alcohol in their breaths and the police say nobody and that 20 people. You are playing to the hands of people say, well, where breath in the first place? So don't go that route, go. Test the people as the police see fit to test them, and if they've got the alcohol in the breath, find them as how they should be, deal with the law. That's all I'm saying. But then again, I find that, I go back to Mr. Murray, and I'm saying that he had a whole truth or something like that talking about Bassard or whoever it is, and come back this morning with the same thing again. There are things that we have to go forward, and the changes have to come from time to time because you did it so one time, it don't necessarily mean you can do it this way. You can go all over the world, and you don't see people driving behind garbage trucks because they're not made that way anymore. But we drive behind it because we want a hill.
I don't even think it's about the site. If you recognize that Barbados, the roads are quite narrow. So if a man is on his side, he may get raked off. So
I see shot with husbands who said he got a job to put the retrofitting on, did not see any problem with the up front. The only problem he saw was with the seat in the hood, but he did not see a problem because he said that they were not stopping people from, they were not inhibiting, they were not dangerous then to the people driving on those. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Have you actually seen the trucks now on the road, sir? Have you seen them in action?
I did not see them. I heard Mr. Nassau on the same program.
Okay.
Who did the retrofitting.
Well, okay.
That when he looked at it, that it made better sense where the steps were.
Mm-hmm.
It's less dangerous than having the steps at the back. And he bought the retrofitting. I only could go on his work. I haven't seen the trucks.
It'd be interesting to hear from the workers themselves to see how they feel because they have to work on the trucks. And all I'm concerned with is that whatever they do, sir, that whatever they do, yes, thank you. Thank you so much. It's important that whatever they do, that the workers always have some sort of input. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure that the workers at the SSA are safe. And I saw the trucks this morning. I saw one on my way down here, and they look quite good, quite sharp. I hope they maintain them. That's the important part. And for people who are worried about change and not wanting to change, life is like that. Nothing and no one remains the same. And the only thing that sort of stays there is, you know, stagnant water, you know. So you don't want to be that. You don't want to be stagnant water. You need to keep moving. We need to keep changing. And we need to improve. So hopefully people can embrace the changes that they will see in 2020. Some of them may be major. Some people are complaining that you're moving too fast. And truthfully, there are some things that you may have to slow down because you may fail. And there are some other things that you don't have a choice but to move as fast as possible because you know, if you don't, then some negative things may happen as a result of any delays. So let's just work together. Let's 2020 be the year of less confusion. Bring your concerns, but bring your solutions and try to find a solution to the problem and not a problem to the solution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Hare.
Good morning.
Wishing you and your family all of the best of health, wealth, and everything that goes with it. Because you said health first and then anything else after.
Health first, then wisdom, and I think you got them too. You're good to go with anything else.
Right.
Don't pray to win a lottery. Because
Even if you win it.
No. If you win a lottery and you are healthy, you got 2 months to live. Somebody else can spend the money. So
Okay.
Yeah. Pray for health first and longevity.
Right. Exactly.
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the best to you and your family.
Thank you so much.
No. Going forward, the program Tuesday with Mr. Ellis, I want to go to the nucleus of all of the cutting trusts and whatever was done on site. I am going to size with Professor Prasad in this regard. Mm-hmm. And this is clear to Barbadians. If the country was insolvent, could not pay its debt, we were at that juncture. The point is, you're facing a stark devaluation or an imposition of taxes. No. Which one would you choose? Because Professor Prasad made it abundantly clear. Let somebody come and refute things like this. If you get a devaluation, across the board, everybody will have to buy things at 50%. The rich and the poor. It's true the rich will still survive, but you imagine how it would be on the poor. Everybody across the board, everything would be so at 50%. Lick up the country, because the devaluation is nothing welcoming, nothing to embrace. So I will size with him in this regard, because when all is said and done, it is you're either going to have a devaluation or you're going to have an imposition of taxes. You with me there?
Yes, I'm with you.
I mean, so I'm clear on that part. I'm not going to go into all of this four seasons and all. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the current situation in Barbados as it stands. And it is very, very clear. You're either going to devalue or you're going to have an imposition of tax. And he made a point. Go any part of the world and find out every this sort of economic situation. How else you've gotten it done? He said that. He chose any part where he could go to start up. It is about, and you know, Prime Minister Morley is on record saying the person has stayed the course, which makes sense, because all of the pretty rhetoric, when if you hear an official devaluation is handed down, that's it. You see all of this talk, and then that closes, because it is now a fact.
May I say something before you continue?
Yes, please.
And I want to join you here about a devaluation. Even though it costs us more to shop in the supermarket, and in a sense, you've got kind of a domestic devaluation going on, because $100 is not $100 anymore in terms of the supermarket,
yes,
inflation and so on. But when you're talking about the devaluation now on the national, international level, where now you have to buy goods and services, and your dollar has now gone from 2 to 1 U.S. to 10 to 1 or 20 to 1, you're now going to look for 20 Barbados dollars just to accumulate one U.S. dollar to go shopping in the USA. Everything changes, including, let me just say, it goes up to 10,000, Barbados dollars to one U.S. dollar. That means currency now has to be reprinted and changed because, you know, it is such a domino effect for every last thing we do if we had suffered a devaluation. I will always sit here and maintain, I am not political, but any government, whether it be the previous administration or this one, that ever allowed a devaluation in this country to happen, they will not be in the political wilderness. They will be somewhere in the Milky Way, somewhere in space, lost in a dark hole, because no one in Barbados would ever want to see them again. So the point I'm making is, if we were that close to the brink of a devaluation and we were able to come out of it, some people suffered as a result
Exactly.
All right. But you know what?
Understood.
There are things in life. And there's some people that were chosen to suffer. Some people are better off than others. Some people are worse off. The point is that moving forward, we don't want people to suffer anymore. Or should I say, if you're suffering, at least come out of the poverty, because another poor man will come. And then eventually, you pull him out of the poverty, because poverty is something that we will never eradicate. We can minimize. Okay. Because you're always, the poor will always be amongst us. They will always. However, I still feel that a man shouldn't be born and die poor. If you can help him, he born into poverty, we give him a hand up. Somebody else comes, he know because he had the hand up, he passes it on out to somebody else.
Good.
And this is what we really should be doing.
You're right.
You can't eradicate it, but we certainly can sort of help people transition out of it. So to add to what you're saying, or to sort of join you, the government had a devaluation happen, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation, right? I think half the people would have packed up and left the country. I certainly would have gone, somewhere, where I could start all over again, because it would be too hard.
But you're finished?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I must thank you particularly for fortifying me, because you see, you carry a proper analysis, and not let anybody come and chalk on what we've just said.
They can't,
because it is a fact of life. The devaluation is the worst thing to happen in any country. So I am clear on that. I'm not going to spend any more energy in it, because I'm satisfied. Economically, we are no poised better than we were in the last 10 years. And anybody want to refute that, let them come. But we're better poised now than we were. And you see the achievements, like, for instance, we just had the $75 million U.S. loan paid back at 5%, which means our credit rating has been has gone up a bit to get it at 5%. Because if you're paying 12 and 15%, your credit rating isn't that good. So there are certain things you cannot debate and argue, though, unless you want to borrow on stupidity.
Well, I agree with you, and I want to thank you.
Go ahead.
We're going to wrap up. Yes.
Yeah. Our garbage. I'm not getting no discussion about trucks and whatever. I understand certain parts of the world you might have them personally back. I think that's not my issue. My fundamental issue has always been relentlessly this. We have got to inform and educate the public about this to recycle. That is the bigger picture going forward. So if you have 1,000 trucks, we still got to get to the ultimate of recycling and sorting garbage at base, etc. And I'm saying that it is high time that the recycling now in this year be taken off to its fullest potential and let the public of Barbados know, no, we are now going into the realm of recycling. And I've made the point over time about the garbage is money, etc. And everybody knows we're all in putting this pursuit. And I'm saying bees bottling is a good example to start with. I heard Mr. Dennis Johnson say he used to carry balls that you get for no money. Carry the balls and put them there at bees recycling. And they're recycling almost everything, put everything to be recyclable up there at their place. That's a good example in Barbados to go with going forward. And now this is the last statement, and I go on.
Yeah, you've got seconds.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, you see this political thing about, if you're going to have a political analysis in Barbados, I am categorically saying we can't use former Minister Mr. Hamilton Lashley, and I'm going to deal with that expeditiously and vehemently about having Mr. Lashley giving a commentary politically about get ready for snap election, and people, I'm going to take that to task.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.